Hello, Saints. I'm going to bring 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and then a few of my thoughts on those verses. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered it, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Okay, now I'm going to read a few of my notes that I have on here.
The famous Colonel Christian chapter.
Okay, verse 1 says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. That's G4559. Pertaining to the flesh, that is, by extension, bodily, temporal, or by implication, animal, unregenerate, carnal, fleshly, a bad state to be in as a Christian. He does actually call them brethren, but they are children. They are at the beginning stages, and they need to grow up. Later in 1 Corinthians 13:11, this verse also shows a progression that is definitely needed. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So this is a temporary state that we are to pass through. We are not to stay at this state. Another verse that came to mind was Revelation 2:19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Another showing forth of progression that is required and needed. When a person is born again, they are not usually a fully mature, walking perfectly in doctrine, and very low on the sin level. It's a progression with time, and it is as fast as you strive to enter it, for God will never hold you back.
Amen.
Also, consider these people may have gone a while without oversight. If I remember correctly, in 1 Corinthians 7, he says they wrote to him a letter. So these people did not immediately have access to older brethren. They had to wait for writings at some point. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. You need to grow up and become a man. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye, like men, be strong. So, you have to get off the milk, you have to get onto the meat, and you do that by the word, you do that by walking in the spirit, and you do that by relying on Christ and putting down the flesh. Peter also has some advice. 1 Peter 2:2, advice, scriptural commands, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse 3, For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? This just basically blows churchianity out of the water. These people received one letter. Churchianity literally has different buildings and different cemetery places for their people to learn. And one verse that came to mind was in the book of James, and that is talking about both earthly and worldly wisdom. James 3:16. For where envying and strife is there confusion and every evil work. So basically, when you're envious and you're jealous against each other, you will not be able to perform the works of God effectively because you will not be seeing the pure motives of your brethren. It really destroys unity. And if you ever get rebuked by people, it feels wrong because you're taking it in the flesh, not the spirit. For a wise man loves a rebuke. Verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Yes, all the denominations are carnal, and these people are trying to be first. They're trying to differentiate themselves, but Christ says the first will be last, and the last will be first. So these people have a wrong mindset in what they're thinking. And this reminds me of Jude. Verses 18 and 19. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Well, these people have the Spirit, and they just have envying and strife. The greater concern is that Christianity is unregenerated, and they're even more divided, more than just trying to get some boasting in who converted them. I'll read a couple more verses from James. Basically, they're living in the carnal man, as he said. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. It's just wrong. Verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? We are just the tools of the Lord. It is the Word and the Spirit of God that has the true power and ability. We are simply tools via which they are ministered to others. And faith is necessary for the truth of God to work. I like what John the Baptist said in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. So anyone who is lifting up their church father, theological professor, they're really demeaning Christ, and they're in grave danger. Verse 6. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. This is something that will really hopefully destroy intellectualism. We are doing what God called us to do. Man does the trivial work. God does the supernatural work. He doesn't expect us to do things above our pay grade. We are laborers in multiple ways. We can preach the gospel. We can bring teaching. Or we can oversee flocks. We can be like elders. And it also reminded me of a couple other scriptures. Matthew 13:33. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. So, while there's others that are working on us, we also have to work within ourselves through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. Also, Hosea 10, verses 12 through 13. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy ways in the multitude of thy mighty men. So we're either trusting in God and his ways, or we're reaping to our flesh and we're destroying our soil. I really believe that our soil is under our control to change. We can remove rocks, we can remove weeds, we can break up the ground. It takes work, but we can do it.
Amen.
You're the results of your actions. You need to be careful how you treat your soil. Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Got a couple verses that came to mind. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ builds the church. We just do the work that he calls us to. In the end of one of the Gospels, Christ was asking Peter if he loved him. And what he told him to do was to feed his flock. So we are to labor on each other. If Christ died for us, we should be willing to lay down our lives for our brethren. Acts 2:47, another verse showing that it's the Lord that causes the growth to actually work. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Another way that we can possibly help people is we could also pray for them, because intercessory prayer of righteous people is very effective. I can attest to that firsthand. Another verse that came to mind, Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We're just the tools of the Lord, and we're just to do his work. Let all the glory be to the Lord. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. As Brother Zelos did a great presentation on the promises of the gospel, here is another promise he'll be able to use when he gets to the epistles. There are a lot of laborers, but they all have the same goal. They are all working to produce a crop for the Lord. Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We know that when the reaping comes, it will mostly be for the winepress of wrath. But bless God that we get to go and work in his field, and we might be able to procure some fruit with his help. Also, another verse that shows that there will be differing rewards. Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. Also later in Corinthians, it talks about how our labors are not in vain, and Christ even talks about even a cup of cold water given to a disciple in his name, he will by no means lose his reward. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Couple things that came up to me. Couple verses. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. And this, of course, reminds us of John chapter 15, where Christ is the vine and we are the branches. So it's a pleasure to be able to work in his vineyard, and it is a pleasure to labor for the one who saved you.
Amen.
Those were my thoughts on those verses, brothers. Any corrections or any additional thoughts, I would love to hear.
Good job, brother. Good job. Any thoughts, brethren, on what he brought today at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9?
Well, I think you covered it pretty good. Maybe if anything, no, I don't have thoughts now. I need to ponder it some more, and then I might have thoughts on it later.
Brother Kuo?
I'm not sure if you mentioned this verse. Perhaps you did. Matthew 15:13. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And that's just, that was the verse that immediately came to mind for me, and about like planting seeds and watering seeds and whatnot. People can claim a lot of things, but if you're not planted by God and increased by God, it means nothing.
It's nothing. So, yeah. It's all a man.
Yeah, it's all intellectual.
It's all a flesh, intellectualism, yeah. Yeah, I think you did a great job. The only thing I would say is this, like, as I said before, this is the famous chapter where people say, see, you can be carnal and be a Christian, and it's okay. Well, clearly, you laid it out well, that these were people in Corinth. A lot of them were probably coming out of paganism, and they probably didn't have the leadership there like we would think they would have had, being some of them brand new in the faith. And Paul is admonishing them to get going and not to sit in their carnality. We know a few chapters away, Paul's putting men out for their sin. So, yeah, the idea that you can be a carnal Christian by name and just sit in your carnality. And can I just say something? They always say, well, look at, they were carnal Christians. Yeah, Paul calls them out for saying, ready? I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. At least those were godly men. At least those were godly men that they were naming themselves after. Not murderous heretics like Luther or Calvin or Roman Catholicism or other men like Menno Simons from the Anabaptists. Not saying that was okay they were doing it, but these people weren't doing what the church systems are today. I think, was it, what chapter was it? Did you read it? Was it chapter 2 where he said you have envy and strife? Or is that coming up? I know at one point Paul tells us the Corinthians what their sin is. It's envy and strife. It's not paganism. It's not worldliness. It's not massive carnality. Yeah, they had some carnality here. So I just like to point that out, because the worldly church system loved to land on this chapter and go, see, we can be carnal and we're still Christians and we're fine. But that's not what Paul is telling them. So, yeah.
That was verse 3.
It was verse 3. Oh, yeah, thank you. It's right there.
For whereas there is among you envying and strife.
Envy, strife, and division. So I thank you. So I always remind people when they say in the worldly church today that they can be carnal Christians, I go, let's compare sins. And we look and we go, let's see, envy, strife, naming themselves after some godly men. What do you guys got? Pagan holidays, worldliness, feminization, on and on and on. So it doesn't line up, and Paul's calling them out of their carnality. So, yeah. Good job, brother. We're going to put this up in the Ecclesia gathering to bless and edify others.